I'm thankful to be here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I told my family this morning that I would not be speaking. I'm fighting some allergies, and so I will be squeaking. Thank you for laughing. I hope that what I said, the words that God has in His book, will be an encouragement to you. And the allergies and the junk that I'm fighting will not be a discouragement or a distraction for you. I want to say thank you on behalf of our staff. Thank you so much for your generosity. The last couple of weeks you've been accumulating a wonderful gift of cash and love for us. And though I've only been here just about 5 months now, I feel part of the team and feel very thankful for your love and generosity. I know I speak on behalf of Kyle and Nancy, our church secretary, of the others that do a variety of tasks here for our congregation. Thank you so much for your love and your support. I want to say thank you to Kyle in particular for last Sunday, being able to speak and to share. And if you missed that, I would encourage you to go online and listen to his message. It was a wonderful way to wrap up 2019 and prepare us for this new year. I don't know if you know this or not. Put it on your calendar, but in about 2 weeks, the Holtons are going to be welcoming in a new baby into their home. They are adopting a young girl, and she is scheduled to be born on the 14th. And so, if all goes well, in about 10 days from now, they will be heading off to go pick her up and welcome her into their family and then also into our family. We want to love, support them, and cover them in prayer over these next few weeks as they get ready for this. I want to share with you a passage from Joshua. Actually, several passages from Joshua. So open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. Joshua, as an older man, was getting ready to speak before Israel, before the nation. We'll get there in just a moment, but I want you to think about Joshua, the older gentleman. As he's about to come before this entire nation of people, the worry, the anxiety, the trembling, the fear that he might have within his heart, as he gets ready to speak something that will either be divisive or bring unity back to the people. Joshua is a unique individual because at the start of his real leadership and at the end of his leadership, he gets to give two of these messages. As a younger man in Joshua chapter 1, he gets ready to step before this nation. As Moses has just passed away, as God transfers the leadership now to Joshua, Joshua takes the opportunity to prepare himself for what he is about to say. And as he prepares himself, God speaks to Joshua. Read with me, Joshua chapter 1 and following. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give you to the Israelites. And I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will be extended to the desert of Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, to the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous.
Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And then verse 10. Joshua takes action. Joshua gets ready for what God has called him to do. He sets about to get these people ready to move into their new promised land. And for the next few verses, it tells about the story of Joshua preparing these people to enter into the land that they've been hoping for, the praying for, that they've been wondering and waiting for. Joshua takes action. This morning, I want us to start our 2020 with this reminder that God is with us. Amen?
Amen.
So be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid, for wherever you go, lo, I am with you always, Jesus said. Be strong and courageous is something you say to those who are weak, who are frightened, who are unprepared for what is about to transpire, and that is us as we look forward to 2020. As we prepare for tomorrow, I don't know what will happen. I don't know the challenges that will come our way, but I know this, that God is with us. I would ask you to raise your hands, but I'm afraid that far too many of us would. In 2019, how many of us forgot at some point along the way, as it got dark, that God was with us? How many of us at some point forgot that He still holds us in the middle of the storm? He reminds us once again as we start this new year. Be strong and courageous, for I'm with you. And then Joshua. Then Matt. Then South Fork. Took action. I want to remind you that not every decision brings action, but every action is a result of a decision. I remember as a younger man, a new father, I had on my bucket list to run a marathon. I found a friend who would start running with me. We were not in the habit of running, and in our town there was a small lake. It was about 3 miles around, and so we started to meet there each afternoon. We'd run for a few minutes, and then walk, catch our breath for a few seconds, and then run again. I remember the day when we ran that whole lake at a good pace. I knew then and there that I was going to run that marathon that was scheduled later that year. Now, this was about the same time that Oprah Winfrey had just run her first marathon. And if you declared that you were going to run a marathon and you weren't going to beat her time, you were setting yourself up for a lot of good jokes. My time around that lap, that first lake, was not all that great, but I was prepared that I was going to accomplish this task. A few weeks later, I went camping. My family and I met up with my brother and his family, and we were camping. Somewhere along one of those nights, I shared with him my dream, my vision of running this marathon. He too shared that vision. We started to talk about our plan and the training, the operations that would take place. He got excited about it. He called me a few days later. He said, "Matt, the first thing I did when I got home, well, after I helped the family unpack, I ordered some shoes and some new running shorts." A few weeks later, me and my running partner, we had just completed our first double-digit mile practice. We just run 10 miles, and we were confident that we were going to accomplish this marathon. As I finished that 10 miles, I went home, and I bought myself a new pair of shoes. And over the next few weeks, next few months, I continued to practice and raise my mileage. A few months later, I was tying, lacing up those new, now old, tennis shoes. As I was getting ready to start that marathon, my brother, on the other hand, had worn his shoes to mow the yard, to go to the beach, to do a few tasks around the house. He had practiced maybe 3 or 4 times and then lost vision of what was to be. See, every action is the result of a decision, but not every decision results in action. I remember when I first met Kara, I was taken by her. Her personality, her charm, everything about her spoke to me, and I decided then and there that if there was ever an opportunity for me to be close to her, then I would be there. If she needed somebody to walk across campus with, then sign me up. If she was going to Walmart to get a few groceries, then that's exactly what I wanted to do. Not every decision results in action, but every action is because of the decision that you make. As we start 2020, what are your decisions? What's your mind telling you that you can and can't do? What is your mind telling you that you will or you won't do? I'm talking about our spiritual journey. I'm talking about our spiritual life together. That you've committed to walk with Jesus, but does he know that? Does he see that? Does your schedule, the tone of your talk, the priority of your list, the dreams that you wish, point to a person of commitment, of choice? Do others that are around you stand up and take notice of who you are and how you are and where you are? I know that many of you have decided to follow Christ, but does he know that by your actions? Joshua stood in front of this vast nation, this beleaguered people that had been wandering in the desert for many years. They were about to set foot into the promised land. The land that their ancestors cowered in fear and were not able to overtake. Now, would they, should they, could they rise up to be that people? As you read over Joshua chapter 1, you see that God reminds Joshua, not once, not twice, but 3 times. Be strong and courageous. I don't know about you, but that speaks to me. Because far too many times, Saturday, fear starts to get into my mind. Far too often, as I'm getting ready to tackle something that seems significant, fear comes into my mind. Far too often when I'm getting ready to go someplace in which there is a great need or a great opportunity, fear comes into my mind. As I'm about to pick up the phone and call somebody who's hurting or in need, fear comes to my mind. I'm asking, brothers and sisters, do you listen to the voice of God? Or do you listen to the voice of the devil whispering in your mind, it's dark out there, it's dangerous out there, it's difficult out there? This morning, I want to make a statement to you. I want you to make a statement to me. I want us to make a statement to our community that we are God's people, and where he leads, we will follow, right? Where he leads, we will go, right? be people who will, by our actions, back up our words. We will not huddle in this room, cowering away from the world because we're afraid of what might be. We will be the people that God has called us to be. Be courageous. We will be bold, and we will make a statement. But sometimes it's always darkest before the dawn. Sometimes it seems more difficult before it breaks through, and we don't know if we're going in the right direction. We don't know if where we're about to go is utter destruction or we are about to succeed. But real success lies in this, that failure is to stop before victory. We know this, don't we, intellectually, that God has given us great victory, great purpose. God has led us to great opportunity. But when we see challenges, we listen to the devil more than sometimes we listen to God's word. And so we make this pledge that we will not stop in the face of difficulty. We will press on. We will strive. We will pursue the goals that God has given us as a church. We will rise together to be all that he has called us to be. But let me tell you, why do we stop? Let me share with you three ways I think are significant for us as we think about our life. Number one, you may not be walking. You may not be in a journey with God. In Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 12, verse 1, it says that we are so easily entangled by sin. Let us throw that off and run the race. There are some in this room who hold on to their sin that so easily entangles. They let it ensnare them over and over again. They will not confess it. They will not denounce it. They will not change their ways. They are not walking with God. When Christ called Lazarus out of the tomb, Lazarus was alive, but he was wrapped in his grave clothes. Brothers and sisters, there's some in this room. You are alive with Christ, but rip off those things that so easily entangle you. Come now and live the life that God is calling us to live. James reminds us in James chapter 1, verse 7, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, that if we are walking in the light, his blood continually cleanses us from all sin. Second thing is, we miss the signs that are around us. We miss seeing what God has placed in our view for the things that are so temporary and short-lasting. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will return for you. But our eyes get caught up not on this glorious sign in front of us, but on these rusty, dingy signs that distract us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the reverse says that we are walking by sight and not by faith. I want to challenge us, brothers and sisters, to live with God's word firmly in our minds and in our hearts. Number three, you don't know who you're walking with. Jesus said, you don't have because you don't ask. We don't know that our Father is the creator of this world, and so we live with doubt and despair. We live with fatigue and short goals. You know that every year comes Super Bowl time. There is a team that has been dreaming all year long about getting to the Super Bowl. And then there is another team that has been dreaming all year long about winning the Super Bowl. Let me ask you, which team comes out at halftime ready to pour their heart and their soul into that game to claim the victory that is theirs? We don't have because we don't ask. We don't ask because we don't pay attention to who we're walking with. Jesus says in Matthew 28, 20, I am with you always. He tells his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 12, that you will do even greater things. And later in John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. That dark day is not a sign that I'm not with you. That dark day is a promise that you will see my hand more clearly. Amen? But those dark days in 2019 were the days that I stopped. Just 1 hour too short. One day before, I gave up just a little bit too easy. And sometimes I missed seeing God provide all that He had promised He would. You see, this lesson is a call for us to take action, to make a statement, to proclaim our faith in purpose, on purpose, as we go about each and every day. In just a few moments, we're going to stand and sing what we call our invitation song. This is an invitation for you to take action. We want to signify that we are unified in our desire to proclaim our faith throughout our community as we stand together and we sing. There are those who have been living a life either not walking with Christ, not seeing His power or His purpose. So we also want to stand and give opportunity for us to say together that I have missed much of what God has purposed for my life. I want your prayers, I want your counsel, I want your involvement in my life. Isn't that what a church is supposed to be? Let us stop playing games of church. Let's be real with one another. God has great things in store for us. My final point this morning is this. Those that can do. In you, God has given a gift, a talent and ability. Do it. Rise up and do it. Don't measure your ability based on somebody else in this room or somebody else on the internet. Base your ability that you know that God has given me this opportunity, this skill, this talent, and I will go and I will do. I will speak, I will teach, I will lead, I will clean, I will prepare, I will call, I will write, I will bless, I will help, I will join in. Second thing that I want to remind you of, contrary to this common negative phrase, those that do teach, instruct others on how to live their life, how to use their skills and abilities. Somehow we think that teaching or instructing is somehow this high, noble, only a few can do it. But if you have the ability to swing a hammer, teach somebody else how to swing a hammer. If you have the ability to cook a pie, bake a pie, then teach others how to do that. I love how this church has got so many involved in our children's programs, helping them to rise up to be the men and women that God has called them to be. Those that do teach. At the end of Joshua's life, he stands before the people once again. In Joshua chapter 24, he has another opportunity to speak to the nation. And I imagine at this time, a little bit more seasoned, a little bit wiser in his life. Scripture does not give us any indication of God needing to give him a pep talk, encouraging him along the way. And in Joshua chapter 24, read with me. It says here, then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, and he summoned the elders and the leaders and the judges and the officials of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." Now listen to his teaching. Listen to his reminder. "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him through Canaan and gave him many descendants." Verse 5. "Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there. And I brought you out, and I brought your people out of Egypt. They came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them, and you saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then you crossed the Jordan, and you came to Jericho. And the citizens of Jericho fought against you, as also did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I gave them into your hand. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword or bow. So I gave you land on which you did not dwell, and cities on which you did not build. And you will live in them, and you will eat the vineyard and the olive groves that you did not plant." Joshua rises before the people, teaches them this great history. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors and worship that they worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the God of your ancestors or the God of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Sometimes I read that, and I don't know if Joshua just raises his hand in a shout and a cry, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Or in softness and gentleness, he draws everybody in. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Either way, Joshua did not know how many more days he would be on this earth, but he was committed to action. A lesson I learned not too long ago. I saw this post from a good friend who lives in California. Maybe over Christmas break, many of you went to see the new Star Wars video. I knew that, you know, that was on our list of things that we wanted to do. So as a friend, was one of the first ones to see it. If you look here, December 20th, he posted this simple message: "This will be a day long remembered." December 24th, Christmas Eve, we were pulling out of our driveway, and a friend who hasn't contacted me in a long time called me. I thought it was the holidays. I thought there was something special about this time of year. And so we were rekindling. So I answered the phone with great optimism and joy. And he shuts me off. He says, "This morning, Ryan was hit by another car and was killed. A father of two about my age, dropping off the dog at the kennel so his family could go enjoy a vacation with the in-laws. It totally changed the way that we did Christmas at the Huddleston house. Joshua's life soon expired after he gave this great call. He didn't know how long he would be living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is a real call. This is a real opportunity for us. Let me finish with this. In Psalms chapter 47, or 45, there's this beautiful message of one preparing for a way. And the day is brilliant. Everything is sparkling and glorious. And as the psalmist writes, the message turns from this ordinary father and son wedding to God and his great purpose and delight. Psalms 45, starting verse 1, says, "My heart is stirred by the noble theme. As I recite my verses for the king, my tongue is the pen of a skillful writer, and you are the most excellent of men. Your lips have been anointed with grace since God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword at your side. You mighty one, clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice that will be a scepter of your kingdom. Your love and your righteousness. You hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above all your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." And it ends with this message that I think is so poignant. "I will perpetuate your memory through all generations. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever." I'm going to ask you, brothers and sisters, will you make a statement? Will you make a stand? Will you proclaim that God is great above all others? Today, in this room, tomorrow in your office, tonight in your home, will you join me in 2020 as we strive to be all that God has called us to be? Let's stand together.